Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. We're on day 242 of our three-year journey through the Bible, and that brings us to Psalm 38 in our Bible reading plan. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. It is a privilege and a joy to be able to dig into your word and explore it together, but we need your Holy Spirit to write your word on our hearts. We need your Holy Spirit to illumine our minds to understand. We need your Holy Spirit to lead us in the truth and to love Jesus more and to draw closer to you and to trust in you more through this time that we spend together in your word. So we pray this, Father, do this work in us, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 38 is a psalm of David for the memorial offering. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath, for your arrows have sunk into me, and your hand has come down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh, because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and fester because of my foolishness. I am utterly bowed down and prostrate all the day. I go about mourning, for my sides are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. O Lord, all my longing is before you. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs, my strength fails me, and the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. My friends and companions stand aloof from my plague, and my nearest kin stand far off. Those who seek my life lay their snares. Those who seek my hurt speak of ruin and meditate treachery all the day long. But I am like a deaf man, I do not hear. Like a mute man who does not open his mouth, I have become like a man who does not hear, and in whose mouth are no rebukes. But for you, O Lord, do I wait. It is you, O Lord my God, who will answer. For I said only, let them not rejoice over me, who boast against me when my foot slips, for I am ready to fall. And my pain is ever before me. I confess my iniquity. I am sorry for my sin. But my foes are vigorous. They are mighty. And many are those who hate me wrongfully. Those who render me evil for good accuse me because I follow after good. Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. That is Psalm 38. And again, it's a psalm, as it says in the title, for the memorial offering. Now, these titles that you see here, these are in the original manuscripts, and so they are part of God's word to us and part of understanding the context and the setting for these psalms. And so we know that this is a psalm written by David. Exactly what the memorial offering is, we can't say for sure. It may have been one of the regular appointed offerings under the Mosaic Law. It may have been what he offered when he brought the ark up into Jerusalem and was dedicating the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite to be the future site of the temple, which his son Solomon would build. It may be that, or it may be a memorial offering as he remembers, looking back on, his sin with Bathsheba and his sin against Uriah and God's deliverance of that. It's all speculation. We don't know for sure exactly which memorial offering or exactly what is meant by the memorial offering. But it's a lament, which is interesting. It's a lament that is confessing sin openly, but that is also expressing anguish at being betrayed by or abandoned by friends, I should say, not necessarily betrayed, but abandoned by friends and betrayed by wicked men who have, you know, taken their stand against him, those who seek his life, those who seek his hurt and meditate treachery all day long. And then it's interesting because he's openly confessing his sin, but he's also saying that he's being wrongfully hated. Those who render me evil for good accuse me because I follow after good. So he's saying there is sin, and the sin is overwhelming, and I confess it, and I'm sorry for it. But the truth is that I'm being hated without cause. I'm being hated wrongfully. People are returning me evil for good. They accuse me because I follow after good. So it's this interesting state. We don't know exactly when David wrote this. You know, it could be that this arose out of the situation with Absalom. We know that David's son Absalom rose up against him and led a rebellion that drove David out of Jerusalem with his mighty men and some close companions, and that very many people who should have been close to David abandoned him and turned their backs on him, including his own son Absalom, who was treacherous against him and who wanted to do him harm and wanted to even send out the army to kill David so that he would not be a threat to Absalom taking the throne. Could have come out of that. Could have come out of when David was being pursued by King Saul. My own preference within the sort of realm of speculation of what we know of David's life is that it does sound like it could be something that came out of the time of Absalom's rebellion and Absalom's wrongful pursuit of him. But because David had been guilty, David had not dealt justly with his own household sin. You know, Absalom's rebellion had its root in the sin against Tamar, when Ammon desired Tamar and basically raped her and then refused to have anything to do with her. And Absalom, Tamar's brother, was very, very upset about that and murdered Amnon and, you know, took his life. And David didn't handle any of that situation within his household with justice. No part of it. And so Absalom had a cause to be angry at David, but what he did was still wrong. He plotted, he was treacherous, he put himself in the gate of Jerusalem, and he would hear people's complaints, and he would say, "Oh, I'm so sorry that the king is neglectful of you and doesn't want to help you in your cause, but, you know, if I were king, I would make sure that there was justice in the land." So David has sinned to confess, but at the same time, what Absalom did was wrong. It was treacherous, it was evil, and it was seeking his hurt without really a cause that would be sufficient enough to justify what Absalom was doing. So it seems to fit that situation, but we don't know exactly. The reason why it's being put for the memorial offering is that when we come to God in worship, we are to openly confess and admit our sin. We are to say to God, you know, "My iniquities have gone over my head. There's no health in my bones because of my sin. I'm feeble and crushed. I groan." This picture of the burden that is laying on him reminds me of Pilgrim's Progress. And, you know, "I'm utterly bowed down and prostrate. I am feeble and crushed." The idea is that the sin, it's a heavy burden. It's too heavy for me. Verse 4. Like, you remember the first part of Pilgrim's Progress, if you've read that great classic work by John Bunyan, when Christian comes under conviction of sin, it weighs on him like a heavy burden that threatens to sink him down to the grave and then lower than the grave into an eternal hell because of the weight of his sin. So David is confessing that, and this is written for the memorial offering so that as a part of worship, we would confess our sin to God. It's why when we gather together for worship at Forest Hill Presbyterian, we have a part of the worship service where we confess our sin to God. We read God's word that prompts us to remember our sin and reflect on our sin, and then we confess our sin to God, and then we rejoice in the gospel and God's forgiveness, and we give thanks to God. But that should be a regular part of our worship, to confess our sin. So where do we see Christ here in this psalm? Well, this psalm is a very good way for us to understand that the psalms are Christ's own prayer book, and so they are the songs of the Messiah. They are songs about the Messiah, and they are the songs and the prayers of the Messiah. Now, you might say, how in the world can that be? This is talking about my iniquities and my sin and my foolishness. Jesus was sinless. Jesus was perfect. True. He was in and of himself. But when was it that Jesus was overwhelmed? When was it that he had a heavy burden that was too heavy for him? When was it that he was utterly bowed down and prostrate? When was it that he was full of mourning? When was it that he was feeble and crushed? When was it that people were, his friends and companions were standing aloof and treating him as if he were diseased and foul? When was that? It's when he took up the cross. And when he became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that through him we might become the righteousness of God. So Jesus had no sin of his own, of course. He had nothing that he himself would need to confess to the Lord that he had done wrong. But when he volunteered to become sin for us, and our iniquities were laid on him and counted as his, that's what happened. Your sin, my sin, the sin of all of God's people for all time were laid on Jesus, and they were counted as if they were Jesus' own sins. Jesus himself never sinned, but he was counted as a sinner. And that's how you can have this tension within this psalm of, you know, he's being hated wrongfully. They're rendering evil for good. They accuse me because I follow after good. Jesus himself was, of course, innocent. He was his foes, his mighty foes, Pilate and the Roman army and the Sanhedrin and all the Jewish religious leadership, mighty foes, they did hate him wrongfully. He had only ever done good to everyone, and they repaid him evil for that good, and they accused him and hated him because he followed after the good. So you see, when we come to these psalms, even these ones that speak about being overwhelmed by sin, they are about Jesus. And this is the cry of Jesus as he's carrying the cross, as he's being crushed by the weight of our sin, as he's being overwhelmed by the wrath of God that is due to you and me for sin. And so we can read this not just as something that arose out of David's life, because it did, but something which the Holy Spirit was using to raise David up above himself and show him a picture of Christ and give him a feeling of what Christ was experiencing. And so we can walk closer with Jesus through this psalm by knowing that he is the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, who was crushed for our iniquities, who was bruised for our transgressions, and by whose stripes we are healed. All that's from Isaiah 53. And so that's where Psalm 38 would ultimately lead us. And then the last cry, make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation, in that last verse, is the cry of Jesus to his Father to save him from death. And Hebrews tells us that in the days of his flesh, he offered up loud cries with tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety, because of his reverent submission. Jesus, that last prayer was answered when God raised him from the dead and seated him far above all other thrones at the right hand of the majesty on high. So you see, we can even see Jesus here. We can use this psalm to confess our own sin to God, but we can also use it to understand the suffering of our Messiah for us and how God delivered him. And because of that, we have the guarantee of salvation from the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this Psalm 38. Thank you even more for your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that we have salvation in him and no one else, because no one else became sin for us. No one else was crushed for our iniquities, but Jesus was. The sin that caused him grief was our sin. And he loved us so much that he was willing to take it upon himself. Father, help us to trust in Jesus and to confess our sin openly and freely, knowing that he has already taken it away. He has already borne it in his body on the tree. Thank you for such salvation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, tomorrow, Lord willing, we're going to be going to Proverbs once again. Proverbs chapter 9 is what's on tap for tomorrow. Hope you can join us for that. Have a blessed day in the Lord. Mm-hmm.